The next speaker is Olivier Gouraud, who is a group leader at the Institut de la Vision as well, in the Department of Development. And Olivier is designing and developing new techniques to produce retinal neurons from, or retinal cells from skin or maybe soon blood. And we'll show you what he's doing. Thanks.
Okay, first of all, I just want to thank José for the invitation to this very interesting meeting. What I want to do today is just try to present a few data on the new promising approaches for the future treatment of the retinal dystrophy with the use of the stem cell in the large domain of the regenerative medicine. And particularly, what can we expect of this famous human pluripotent stem cell, and how we can use them to treat in the future the retinal dystrophy, but also how we can use them to understand the mechanism, the cellular and the molecular mechanism underlying the retinal dystrophy. And this slide is just to illustrate the major type of cell that are affected during the retinal dystrophy, then the ganglion cell in the case of glaucoma that's been largely discussed this morning by Alain and Zhang, and focusing on the other part of the retina, the couple of retinal pigmented epithelium, RPE, and the photoreceptor that are lost in genetic disease like rod cone and cone 1 dystrophy and in the famous age-related macular degeneration. And the concept of the cell therapy is relatively simple because the idea is what discussed and largely mentioned by John Dowling this morning is how we can replace the cell that are lost by the new cell. Then the idea will be for the glaucoma to transplant the new ganglion cell, and for the age-related macular degeneration and the other retinal dystrophy to transplant photoreceptor or RPE cell or both of them, depending on the stage of the disease. Then, as you can imagine, it's relatively difficult to transplant the ganglion cell because they need to integrate and to reconnect into the brain to form the optic nerve. And it's more less complicated for the photoreceptor because we can imagine that it's only one synaptic connection with the bipolar. And maybe the easier way will be to for the disease is to transplant the RPE that just form a monolayer in the front of the retina. And here it's just to illustrate the different strategy then depending if the photoreceptor they generate or the RPE, depending of the stage of the disease, what kind of cell are required to be transplanted to partially recover the vision. And actually it's a large consensus in the field demonstrating that the best source of the human cell therapy product are these human pluripotent stem cells because they are like immortal. They can be differentiated in an unlimited manner. And this cartoon is just to illustrate the most famous human pluripotent stem cell, the human embryonic stem cell, just here in the inner cell mast of the blastocyte. And this cell can self-renew, and they can be differentiated into, during the development, what they want to do is to be differentiated into the three germ layer. And the field was a revolutionary discovery appeared in 2006 by Shinya Yamanaka. It discovered one way to reprogram somatic cell into a cell that have exactly or very similar property to the ES cell that is called the human induced pluripotent stem cell. And the strategy he developed is take the fibroblasts of the mouse and then after of the human and overexpress many transcription factors, and he find a sufficient combination of four transcription factors, OCT4, SOX2, CEMIC, and KLF4, that reprogram the cell in a pluripotent stem cell that have the same ability to the ESL to be differentiated in all the cell body and to be amplified in an unlimited manner. And then actually, thanks to different groups, we can culture the ESL and the iPS cell in a different lab, even if it's a very complicated stuff. And for us, the interesting thing is how we can differentiate this cell into the retinal lineage, depending on the cell we are interested to transplant the RPE photoreceptor and the ganglion cell. And the concept could be just to try to reproduce in the dish the key step of the retinal development. And I just mentioned here what I mean are the three important key steps of the retinal development. The first is the specification of the eye field territory in the forebrain under the control of growth factor, but also on the gradient of specific morphogene. And then after, with the formation of the optic cup and the optic vesicle, the specification of the RPE or the neural retina still under control of growth factor on morphogene. And within the neural retina, then after, how the retinal progenitor cells can give rise to ganglion cell or to the photoreceptor? And can we reproduce these different steps in the dish? And for the RP, it's relatively simple because the generation of the RP from the ES or the iPS cell is something which is very easy to do. It's some like a spontaneous differentiation. And this large table is just to illustrate many groups that have been able to generate RP from the ES or the iPS cell, starting from suspension culture. Then what I mean by suspension culture is just you make some aggregate for ES or iPS cell, or directly from the adherent culture. And I just want to go into the detail about the result we get in the lab by Sasha Reichman in the beginning. The idea was to culture the iPSL at confluency. Then you can see here one colony of iPSL. And then when they start to overlap, they start to differentiate. And to push the differentiation of the iPS, the idea was to remove the FGF2, which is the pluripotency factor in the medium, in order to promote the differentiation. And to promote the differentiation, into the neuroectonormal lineage, we switch the cell into a proneural medium. The medium we use generally to culture the neuron and particularly the retinal neurons. And when you do that, after 3 weeks, you can see in the dish the patch of pigmented cell here, corresponding to this kind of feature in higher magnification. And if you cut this pigmented patch of cell and replate them in another dish, then after 2 more weeks, you have this key feature of the RP cell monolayer with the cobblestone morphology. And the cells here are really RP cells. They express all the markers of the RP, and they form a very well polarized RP epithelium. By looking at the S-ring, for example, which is localized at the apical part of the RP, and we have been able to demonstrate, for example, that the channel bestrophin is expressed at the basolateral part of the RP only, as expected in vivo. But thinking about cell therapy, then we need also to develop some approach without where we can bank the cell, for example, and also without any animal product. And this cartoon is just to illustrate exactly the protocol we have been able to develop in the lab, actually, without any feeder layer for the iPS cell and without any animal product in the culture. And we can differentiate the iPS cell into the RP. We can freeze them, bank them, and we can also conserve them. And after thawing, the cell keep their RP phenotype, as you can see here, with the MITF staining, which is the transcription factor specific for the RP, and with the tight junction marker Z1. And more important, these RP cells are still functional. Then if we test their ability to phagocyte the photoreceptor outer segment, they can still bind and internalize the photoreceptors. Then the next step was how we can validate the fact that this cell can be transplanted and restore the vision in different models. Then it's two strategies. The first strategy is to transplant cell suspension of the RP, and the other strategy is to transplant a monolayer of RP which is already polarized. And then we believe that this strategy is maybe more useful for many diseases where the brush membrane is destroyed. And the best model, I don't know if it's the best, maybe it's the model that has been largely used in different laboratories, the RCS rat, that carry a mutation in the MERTK gene and leading to the functional defect of the RP phagocytosis. And the photoreceptors start to die after 3 weeks after birth. And the idea for many groups is to transplant the RP just before the photoreceptors start to die in order to see if we can preserve the photoreceptor death. And something that you need also to keep in mind is just when you graft human cell in the rodent context, then you need to immunosuppress the animals. Our many groups just put cyclosporin in the drinking water. And among the different groups, some of them have been able to graft the RP derived from ESL or for the iPSL, and they have different tests to demonstrate that they can partially prevent the photoreceptor cell death or recover the vision with the electroretinogram, for example. And for me, more interesting is just these two approaches developed by the group of Mark Humayun in California and Masayo Takahashi in Japan, where they graft RPE derived from the ESL on the parent patch, then like a sheet of RPE. And from the group of Masayo, they transplant a sheet of RPE derived from the human iPS cell. And this slide is just to illustrate the paper from the group of Masayo, because it's very interesting, just to explain the strategy. Then they put the RP cell from IPS into the transwell there, and they add a collagen. And after a long time in culture, the cell proliferate, or they well differentiate, and there are six in with the side junction. And they put the transwell into the collagenase in order to dissolve the gel, and that release the sheet of RP like that look like that in the dish, and then after they can cut a small piece of RP and transplant them into the animals. And they demonstrate that when they do that, they partially preserve the vision in the RCS rat. And thanks to this result, they start a clinical trial last year, if I correctly remember, which is actually the only patient-specific autologous cell replacement approach using the stem cell-based therapy. They take a skin biopsy of the patient and reprogram the fibroblast into the iPS cell in a good manufacturing process and in a very safety condition, difference them into the RP and retransplant into the patient. And actually, they just start the clinical trial, and just we are waiting for the first result. Then here in Paris, the strategy we develop, thanks to the consortium leading by ISTEM here, close to Paris, with Marc Péchanski and Christelle Monville, and also in collaboration with the therapy unit in the Saint-Louis Hospital. Their idea is how we can just transplant RP already polarized with a scaffold that can mimic the RP environment. And then what we choose is the human amniotic membrane, where the composition is relatively similar to the brush membrane. And this amniotic membrane has many advantages. The first one is that she's already accepted by the regulatory agency because she's already used for the corneal transplantation. And she has many anti-inflammatory and immunogenic properties. Then you can see here that the RP cell derived from the ES cell from the clinical grade condition. Then here we are very close to the clinical grade production of cell. They look like very happy, and they are polarized with the development of the microvilli at the apical part and the nucleus at the basal part of the cell. And I don't have time to go into the detail, but we develop a system to transplant the layer of the RP with the human amniotic membrane into the subretinal space of the RCS rat, and you can see here. And then after, we look at the thickness of the photoreceptor Hauser nuclear layer by the OCT, and then you can see that when we transplant in the animals that have been transplanted with the tissue engineering product, then RP cell and the human amniotic membrane, the thickness of the photoreceptor is largely preserved compared to the dystrophic and also compared to the cell in suspension. And demonstrating that the already polarized monolayer is better than that the injection of the single RP cell suspension. And to look at the potential for functional assessment of the cell therapy product, we record the B-wave amplitude of the animals at different flash intensity. As you can see here, with the tissue engineering product, we can preserve the absence of the ERG response, and this preservation is largely better compared to the RP cell suspension. Here it's just to illustrate the area under the curve, then demonstrating that this approach will be better than the RP cell suspension. Even the surgical act is more complicated. Then what we are now, we just move to the preclinical validation of this cell therapy product in the non-human primate for the safety and the tolerability assessment. And we believe that we maybe can start a clinical trial just by selecting patients affected by retinitis pigmentosa, specifically from genes that are mutated in the retinal pigmented epithelium. That will be at the end of 2018 or beginning of 2019. Then it was the funny things that which are with the RP cell. Then now just move to the neural retina, where the situation is more complicated because it's more difficult to generate retinal neurons from the iPS cell. And different groups produce cells that are dissociated retinal cell, and adjustment will be more focused on the retinal structure we develop in the lab, but also in a different group. Then here, this is the first paper by the different group, and where they can generate photoreceptor from both ES and iPS cell, and just they mentioned that what they did here is just they play with the gradient of morphogen by adding some inhibitory, or they add some transcript or some growth factor in order to mimic the high specific high field specification. And in 2011, the group of Sasai published a very important paper that changed many things. But this paper is using the mouse embryonic stem cell, which is more relatively easy to differentiate. And what he demonstrates in this very interesting paper is that in less than 10 days, when he makes some aggregate of the mouse embryonic stem cell, he can recapitulate, then the neuroectoderm can recapitulate exactly the in vivo situation by the evagination and vagination and the formation of the optic vesicle here. Then the problem is just then after how its system can be applied in the human cells, because the time of the retinal formation is largely is more important than here. You can see it's 10 days. And here I just mentioned the three major approaches actually developed in the literature. The one by the group of Sasai here, when they are able to generate the optic cup-like structure using human ESL. And in my knowledge, I don't see any human iPS cell with this technique, but I know that many labs try to improve the system. And the very interesting system developed by the group of Devgam in Madison, where they generate this optic vesicle-like structure with many kind of iPS cell. And this structure we have been able to generate in the lab that we call neural retinal-like structure, because they express all the retinal cell, the neural retinal cell. And the interesting system we develop is that we use exactly the same condition to make both RPE and retinal organoids. Then with one protocol, we can obtain all the retinal cells. And then the system is the same here, as I mentioned before. And then you have the pigmented patch of the cells in the dish. But in some place in the dish, you have this kind of feature, which is like an holosphere surrounded by the pigmented patch of cells. And then if you cut these things, these guys, and put them in a floating culture, they grow with an increase of on the neuroepithelium, the thickness of the neuroepithelium. And these structures are composed by retinal progenitor cells that can give rise to all the neural retinal cells. And we can identify easily all the cells by immunohistochemistry. And just to illustrate briefly, here you can see the ganglion cell that Alain mentioned this morning that express the BRN3E. The first cells that are committed into the photoreceptor lineage, they start to express OTX2, and the more committed cell express CRX and rocoverin, then they form some rosette within the structure, because we believe that in the structure, the normal retina is not in the in front of the RP. Then maybe it's for this reason that the photoreceptor differentiates into the rosette. And waiting for 150 days, then here you see directly the difference between human and mouse cell, then the kinetics is totally different, and the rods here and the cones. And this cartoon here, by using the technique developed by Alain in the institute with the clearing, this is the feature of the retinal organoids after 6 months in culture. And in green, this is the photoreceptor rocoverin, and in red, the rhodopsin, then the rods, and then you can see that they form a rosette. And in the lumen, in the ear of the rosette, you have a huge or large intensity of red staining corresponding to the formation of the outer segment of the photoreceptor. Then we can generate the photoreceptor outer segment, and we can confirm by electronic microscopy that the ultrastructure, like the disc accumulation, is present with this protocol. And to summarize the protocol here, I just want to mention that we use the human iPS cell, many of them, or we have 20 lines in the lab actually, and all of them can give rise to all these features. And what is important is that with one protocol, we can generate both RP and the retinal organoids. And with these retinal organoids, we can generate the ganglion cell here, and they can make some axon growth, and the photoreceptor here. But if you think about the cell transplantation, in this context, it's totally different from the RPE, because with the RPE, we have a dish which is totally, after replating the cell, a dish which is totally confluent from the RPE. Then we don't need to purify the cell. Then here, it's more complicated, because within the retinal organoids, you have all the retinal neurons. Then you need to find a way to purify the cell of the the cell type of interest for the transplantation. And then the strategy we use in the lab is use the magnetic beads that can target specific surface antigen for the precursor of the photoreceptor or for the ganglion cell. And then after, try to transplant this cell into rodent animals. And the second thing is to move to the clinical grade, then we need to think on good, what we call the good manufacturing process, then avoiding any animal product, any feeder layer, and also what I mentioned before for the RP, the notion of banking, then how we can cryopreserve the structure or the photoreceptor precursor or the ganglion cell before the transplantation, because we cannot do the differentiation at the time of the transplantation. And then I don't have time to go into the detail, but we successively achieved all this, step in the lab. Then actually we can generate retinal organoids in a totally clinical compatible condition, and these retinal organoids can be cryopreserved, and after thawing, they keep their retinal phenotype, and we can isolate photoreceptor or retinal ganglion cell. And just to finish with the three or four slides, depending on the time, I'm focusing a lot on the cell transplantation because it's more the future for the treatment of the retinal dystrophy. But we need to keep in mind that the another innovative therapy could be achieved with the human the retinal cell derived from the human iPS. The first one is the disease modeling. Try to understand the mechanism underlying the photoreceptor degeneration, for example, and then after that, make some drug screening. And something also which is very interesting is what I call the gene therapy validation. Then here you have you are in vitro, but you are in the pure human context. Then, for example, if you develop new vectors, then you can try the vector in the human context. For the optogenetics, for example, you can exactly see if the optogene is correctly addressed, correctly expressed. Which is very important before to move to the in vivo, to the transplantation, for example, of non-human primate. And this slide is just to explain that it's very easy, but the idea to generate iPS cell line from patients suffering from retinal dystrophy, then since the cells are generated from the skin bioplast, the skin fibroblast, sorry, you can isolate the fibroblast from a patient that carry a specific mutation and reprogram the cell and verify that the iPS cell are still carry the mutation, and you can generate all the cell type of interest from the retina, photoreceptor, RP, as you want, and this cell normally still carry the mutation, and you can find an in vitro phenotype or try to find an in vitro phenotype in order to compare the control cell line or the mutated cell line. And then if your in vitro phenotype is relatively strong or the readout is relatively strong, then you can develop a screening approaches by testing many molecules that can reverse the mutated phenotype to the control in order to develop in the future a different drug therapy. And just to finish, I just would like to thank all the people of my group working on the retina organoids and the RP, just Karim that do all the stuff with the human amniotic membrane on the RP, Sacha and develop the first the protocol of differentiation, then Amélie developed for the clinical grade condition. Juliana and Oriane are working on the purification of the photoreceptor and the retinal ganglion cell, and all our collaborators for the what we call the site repair program here, and all the funding, and just particularly all the patient association. And thank you very much.